We're glad you've joined us for today's program. Brave is the Bible teaching ministry of Jeff Schwarzentraw, senior pastor of Brave Church in Denver, Colorado. Brave exists to challenge brave warriors for courageous kingdom advancement. And that's the goal of this program. To learn more about Pastor Jeff and the ministry of Brave, visit our website at bravepastorjeff.com. There you'll find full sermons and other resources to equip you to be a brave warrior. And if you'd like to give a gift to keep programs like this one going strong, you can do that as well. The website again is bravepastorjeff.com. Today on Brave, Pastor Jeff begins his message, Trust God in Your Trials, from the series Exodus, and explores five essential steps to not just endure trials, but to thrive through them with faith, hope, and purpose. Now, here's today's program.
Today I want to talk to you about how to trust God in times of trials. How to trust God with your trials. As we've been studying through the book of Exodus, we've seen God's powerful hand as he's rained down plagues on the Egyptians and has taken those Israelites who were in bondage for 400 plus years and delivered them from slavery out of slavery in a magnificent, powerful way. In the last chapter that we saw, what God did was he sent the 10th plague, the death of the firstborn child and the firstborn animal, to every home that was not painted with the blood of the Lamb. And we talked about the protection of the blood and how the blood is what the angel of death saw as he passed over Israel. And then God established with them this covenant that they would keep forever called the Passover, that every single year they would gather as a nation and remember what God had done so they could pass it down from generation to generation to generation. And when we hear a story like that, we get excited because we see God's powerful hand at work. And for many of us, when we hear about God's powerful hand or when we see God's powerful hand, then we begin to think, well, from that moment on, things are going to get pretty good. But I have news for you. One thing that Jesus Christ promised us is in this world, something that you will have. You will have what? Tribulation, but take heart, I've overcome the world. What you can count on in your life is trials. You just can't count on what they're gonna look like. You're gonna have a trial. There's gonna be a time in your life where you're faced with something that you wouldn't have chosen for yourself. Now, there are things in life we call consequences. Consequences are when we choose bad behavior and then there's a consequence for our actions. So if you choose to go out and get drunk and then get behind the wheel of a car, that's not just something bad that happened. That's a consequence of your action. That's not a trial. If you go chew out your boss and you get fired, that's a consequence of your action. That's not a trial. A trial happens when you're doing the things that the Lord requires of you and you're walking in the ways of the Lord, and then something hits. And it hits so hard as if you begin to wonder, why is this happening? Why is it happening now? Why is this happening to me? And what in the world do I do to get out of the situation that I'm in? And that's what we're going to talk about today is how can you trust God in your trials? How can you do that? Now, you hear it from the pulpit all the time, say, well, just trust God, which is true. But what specifically do you need to do to trust God? And I've loved this study in the book of Exodus. Every time we study the Old Testament, we realize from 1 Corinthians chapter 10, Romans 15, that everything we read about in the Old Testament is for our edification. So we can see the same God we serve now, how he operated once upon a time, because God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So when we read these stories, they're to build us. And what we're going to see today is coming out of this powerful deliverance story where God delivers the entire nation of Israel, the trial that they're now going to face and how they're called to respond and what they can expect when they see that trial. So we're going to talk about five musts of our trust, what those five musts are for us to really enjoy. And when I say enjoy, I mean truly enjoy the trials that God sends our way so that we can not only get through them, but thrive in them. If you have a Bible, I encourage you right now to open up to Exodus chapter 14. We're gonna be taking a look at that chapter today. And as I mentioned, God was going before them. He was going before them with a pillar of cloud by day, and he was going before them as a pillar of fire by night. He protected them in the day with the cloud from all the heat. He protected them in the night from cold, and he provided warmth, and he's giving the direction that they need to go. And this is where our story picks up. It says in chapter 14, verse 1, now the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, tell the sons of Israel to turn back and camp before Pi-Hahiroth and between Migdol and the sea. You shall camp in front of Baal Zephon, opposite it by the sea. For Pharaoh will say to the sons of Israel, they are wandering aimlessly in the land. The wilderness has shut them in. Thus, I will harden Pharaoh's heart, and he will chase after them. And I will be honored through Pharaoh and all his army. And the Egyptians will know that I am the Lord. And they did so. The first must when you're going through a trial is that you must acknowledge God is actively authoring all of your circumstances. You must acknowledge that God is actively authoring all your circumstances. God is the one behind this. Now notice who he's talking to. He's not talking to the nation of Israel now. He's not telling 2 million people what's going to happen. Who's he talking to? He's talking to Moses. And here's what he's telling Moses. Hey, I know you've been delivered. I know you've been free. I want you to camp at this place right here. And when you camp there, I'm going to harden Pharaoh's heart again, and he's going to come after you all. And when he does, I promise you this time, I'm going to get all my glory, and everyone in Egypt will know that I'm God. You already know that I'm God, but Egypt's going to know that I'm God too. And this is what the story picks up. So here's what we can see. When God says what he's going to do, what does God do? He does everything he says he's gonna do. And it's really interesting because God is the one who's authoring all these circumstances. And here's what I want you to know. God is always the one who is authoring all of your circumstances. He's the author and the perfecter of your faith. God has authored it or has allowed it in your life for your greatest good and for his greatest glory. Many times when we go through a trial, we begin to ask the wrong questions. Why am I going through this? How come I'm the one that has to endure this? If God really loved me, then why would I be doing this? God, I've been doing things your way and I get this as a result. That's the wrong question. What God wants you to do, what? When you go through a trial, what's he say? Consider it all joy, right? Paul says this, rejoice in the Lord. How often? Always. Again, I say rejoice. We don't have to rejoice about the trial. We don't have to say the trial is good, but we're rejoicing about our God that is authoring that trial because our God is still so good. Amen? See, here's what we have the ability to do. Oftentimes we get a raise or we meet our spouse and we know we're getting married or we have our first child or we get an increase in pay or a new job or something great happens to us. We're like, God is so in this. God has so blessed me. But when something bad happens, what do we say? Man, this is terrible. Where's God? The same God authors the good and the bad. The same God's working it all out. What we see here before the story unfolds, you need to see that God is the one who's authoring everything that's going to take place. He's saying what's going to happen to Israel. He's saying what's going to happen to Egypt. And he's saying in all of it, I'm going to be God. In all of it, I'm going to get the glory. If you want to know the theme of the entire Bible, it's the glory of God. God is going to get glory no matter what, through our actions, right? Either we're gonna respond to him in such a way we worship him and he gets glory, or we're gonna harden our heart towards him. And guess what? He's gonna show you and the rest of the world that he indeed is God and he's still gonna get glory. Either way, our God's going to get glory. So see what happens. What God says gets done. So notice verses 5 and following. When the king of Egypt was told that the people had fled, Pharaoh and his servants had a change of heart toward the people. And they said, what is this we have done that we have let Israel go from serving us? See a change of heart? Again. Like, what have we done now? We let them go. They were serving us. They were our slaves. Now they're free. So he made his chariot ready and took his people with him. And he took 600 select chariots and the other chariots of Egypt with officers over all of them. The Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, just like he said he would, king of Egypt. And he, Pharaoh, chased after the sons of Israel as the sons of Israel were going out boldly. Then the Egyptians chased after them with all the horses and chariots of Pharaoh, his horsemen and his army. And they overtook them, camping by the sea, besides Pi Hahiroth in front of Baal Zephon. You see what's going on? God said, this is what I'm going to do. And what does God do? He does it. Do you realize God can move on the hearts of people? God can change things. A king's heart is like channels of water in his hands. He can turn it wherever he wishes. God says, here's what I'm going to do. Moses, I'm going to have you camp at such and such a place. Now, it took me all week to learn how to pronounce those words, and I still can't pronounce them, as you can tell. Now, where is this place? I could show you on a map where the place is, but I want to tell you, because many of you are in that place right now. Some of you have been at that place before, and some of you are going to get there really, really soon. Here's the place. The place is when you're between a rock and a hard place. That's the place they're at. You ever been in a rock in a hard place before and get punched in the gut? And you're kind of doubled over? It's like you're at the corner of darned if you do and darned if you don't. That's where they're at. There seemingly is no good choice. They are hemmed in. And when we see this Egyptian army coming after them, we hear the word chariots, and we're not familiar with that as a fighting strategy because we live in a world of tanks and airplanes and all sorts of different ways of warfare. But in that day, that was the most sophisticated type of warfare. So you have the greatest army in the world coming after you with 600 plus chariots, all of Pharaoh's armed men, and they're coming after you and you got nowhere to go. You got a sea in front of you, you got a rock behind you, and now you're done. That's where they're at. Have you ever been in a place like that? You ever been in a place like that before where you're like, I don't get what to do. I don't even know the steps to take. I read my Bible, but I don't even know what the next place is. Here's the first place. You acknowledge that God is actively authoring your circumstances.
You're listening to Brave. And today, Pastor Jeff is sharing his message, Trust God in Your Trials, from the series Exodus, exploring five essential steps to not just endure trials, but to thrive through them with faith, hope, and purpose. We'll return to his teaching in a moment, but before we do, we want to help you be prepared to go boldly against the flow of culture and unapologetically take a stand for kingdom values. And we invite you to become a Brave Warrior today by signing up for emails from Pastor Jeff. You'll get exclusive first look access to exciting new content, ministry updates, and resources to help you fight the good fight of faith and boldly pursue the fulfillment of the Great Commission. To become a Brave Warrior, simply go to bravepastorjeff.com to sign up. Again, that's bravepastorjeff.com. Now, let's return to Pastor Jeff and hear more of today's Bible teaching.
You ever been in a place like that before where you're like, I don't get what to do. I don't even know the steps to take. I read my Bible, but I don't even know what the next place is. Here's the first place. You acknowledge that God is actively authoring your circumstances. When you're in that place and you don't know what to do, you're going to thank the Lord. Lord, while I don't know what to do, and while I'm uncomfortable with this situation, I am thanking you that you're the one that's authoring these circumstances. Because God's always in control of those things. See, so often we ask questions like this. How am I going to get through this? God, where are you? Did I do something wrong? Do you still love me? I want to trust you, God, but I don't understand. You know, please explain this to me. Everybody want God to do that? If God just would show me why he's doing this. I've studied God's word for about 32 years, and I find that in God's word, God doesn't promise explanations for everything we go through. But in God's word, God explains his promises. He doesn't promise explanations, but he explains his promises. In other words, God is not going to tell you, well, here's why I did that, you finite being who knows nothing. Let me explain to you all the intricacies of everything that I'm doing that you'll never understand. It's like a parent trying to explain to a three-year-old why they can't cross the street. They don't get it. You just say no. There's things that God can't explain to us. We wouldn't even be able to fathom why he did it. What he does tell us is, you can trust me because I'm still the same good God that loved you so much that I sent my son to be slaughtered on a cross, who rose from the dead. And if I can do that, I'm still good and I have your back. Would you please acknowledge that? God is authoring those things. Now, some of you would say, well, I didn't even have a choice in some of the things that God authored. There were some bad things that happened in my life. There's bad things that have happened in everybody's life. And sometimes the enemy turns up the voice and gets even louder, like, if God was so good, then this wouldn't have happened to you when you were 4 years old. This wouldn't have happened to you when you were 10. That wouldn't have happened to you by your dad or your uncle or your father. That wouldn't have happened to you by your coach. You wouldn't have been overlooked. You would have got the promotion that you deserved. Like, all these things that are outside of your control that we begin to wonder, if God's so good, then why are these things going on in my life? And we could make an exhaustive list. Some of you were abused. Some of you were overlooked. Some of you have been cheated. Some of you have been maligned. Some of you have been sick. Some of you have been through divorce. How about a death of a loved one? An untimely death. That's what we call it. Do you know all death from our perspective is untimely? I mean, there's never such thing as, oh, they died perfectly. It was a timely death. A few years ago, my grandma died at 104. Do you know why she died? She was 104. And it was an untimely death. We would have wanted her to stick around forever, right? I mean, there's never a time where somebody you love dies. You're like, oh, okay, perfect timing, right? But from God's perspective, do you realize that no one dies except on time? Psalm 139 says, all of your days were ordained before one of them came to be. There's nobody that dies that goes before the presence of the Lord where he asked, what are you doing here? I wasn't expecting you right now. There's no such thing as untimely death. God is always authoring everything, but there are so many things that we don't understand. We don't understand why. We don't understand how come. We don't realize what God is doing in the circumstances, but can I tell you this? God does. And God uses trials to accelerate your growth in Him. God wants you to grow. He wants you to worship and read His word and study His word and put His word into practice. He wants you to pray. He wants you to be generous with your resources. He wants you to grow. But when trials come into your life, it's like adding fuel to the fire. It accelerates what you can do if in that trial you can acknowledge that God is the one who's actively anchoring and authoring your circumstances. God's the one who's holding it all together. God's the one who's doing it. When you go through something really devastating and really hard, God doesn't ask you, hey, rejoice that it's really bad in your life right now. What you're rejoicing in, rejoice in the Lord always. Rejoice in who? The Lord. Not your circumstances, but rejoice that in the circumstances, Jesus is still the Lord over all of that. There's so many things we don't understand now that will make sense someday, but we'll never understand them on this side of heaven. I mean, I think of my grandma, she quilted when I was a kid and, you know, she would make all these patterns on the top and it was beautiful if you like quilting and all that stuff. But if you ever looked underneath a quilt, what did you see? You saw all these strands and everything's out of place and it looks really ugly from the bottom. But when the thing comes down and you see it, it's got a perfect pattern to it. When we're looking up, God, I don't understand. God's like, yeah, you can't understand. There's no way I could explain it to you. But when it comes down and when I return, you'll see how I've been building this perfect pattern and that everything has been authored by me and I'm doing it for your greatest good and my greatest glory. That's who I am. And here's what I would say to you. Some of you that have been through some of the most difficult trials, I think God entrusts some of His most difficult trials to some of His greatest saints. When you go through a trial and you know it's not a consequence, you know you're walking with the Lord and wow, why this? Why now? It's because God is entrusting you with something awfully special. That's why He tells us to thank Him. That's why He says, consider it all joy. Why? Because you're special enough that God can entrust you with that. And if you look through the Bible, some of the greatest characters that we know and that we like listening to, and like, I love that story, we wouldn't want to live it. We just like hearing what God did through them. Like Job. Anytime we go through suffering, like Job, remember, it's just like Job. Well, what was Job? Job lost everything. He lost his family. He lost his fortune. He lost his house. And then he went through all sorts of times as he was doing the right things. And all of his friends were theologically gathering around him to say, hey, it's because you did something wrong. And Job's like, I didn't do anything wrong. This is a trial. Though he slay me, I will not curse him. And we see Job all the way to the end where God doubles his family and doubles his income and blesses him twice as much. We're like, oh, Job, that's great. You want to live Job's life? No, I don't. But it's a good story for Job. Good for him. Or how about Joseph, who grew up in a family with 11 other brothers, but he, because he knew he was favored, showed off his coat of many colors, and as a result, got sold into slavery, ends up in a foreign land, gets lied about by Potiphar, ends up in prison for a number of years, and guess what? Then he ascends to the throne. He's number two in command, and his brothers come and see him because of a famine. And in Genesis chapter 50 and verse 20, I'm paraphrasing, he says, what you intended for evil, God intended for good. See what he was saying? You thought you were authoring my circumstances for evil. God's always been the author of my circumstances and they've always been for good. And we hear the story of Joseph, like, that's a great story. You want to live his life? No, but it's good for Joseph. And we can say that about any character in the Bible that we follow. I mean, what about the Apostle Paul? When he gets saved as Saul, he ends up at somebody's house. God sends Ananias to him to show him what? How much he must suffer for my name. You want Paul's ministry? I don't, but I'm glad he had it. And what did Paul say? For me to live is Christ, to die is gain. These light and momentary afflictions are nothing compared to the weight of glory that is to come. And what about our own Savior? Did he endure any hard times? Did he go through any trials? His whole earthly ministry was a trial. To give up godliness and to become a man and be fully God and fully man and then to be challenged and abused and beaten and spit upon and mocked and then crucified on a cross. That's why he's praying in the garden. Father, if there's any other way, Dad, let me know, but not my will. Yours be done. I'll endure any trial you have. I'll go through it all. I'll model what it looks like. Aren't we thankful Jesus went through all that? Amen. And 3 days later, he rose from the dead in glory. Show me one saint worth of salt in the history of the church that hasn't gone through something difficult. You won't find it in the Old or the New Testament. So why do you consider it strange when challenges come your way? Why do you think there's something wrong with you? For some of you, either there's this proclivity, it's in your health. For some of you, it's in your finances. For some of you, it's in relationships. We could go down the list, and it seems to kind of come back and get you every single time. Why? Because we're living on this side of heaven. There's no saint that you will meet in heaven when you meet him that will say something like this. Oh yeah, I remember my time on earth. It was awesome. It was just blessing upon blessing, glory upon glory. I was so mad the day I died and had to be in the presence of the Lord. It was so good on earth. Not one. So as you walk with the Lord, know that trials will come. Tribulation will be a part of your life. And when they come, just acknowledge this, that God is active. He's not distant. He's not somewhere else. He's actively authoring your circumstances. Now, you may never know why he authored what he authored. But if he's the one that authored it, and he's good, and he's merciful, and he's faithful, and he's true, and he's entrusted with some great trial in your way or some great pain that you've gone through, and that's for your good and for his glory, then it's best not to keep asking him, why, woe is me, and do what? Lord, I thank you that you're God of my circumstances. Show me how you want to be glorified through them. I want to continue to walk with you. That's what we need to do. When you go through a trial, acknowledge. That means believe. That means own the fact that God is actively authoring this circumstance for you. Amen? That's what he wants in your life. Number two is this. If you're going to trust God in trials, you must not only acknowledge that God's actively authoring your circumstances, but this is the one I've been waiting to say all week. You must stop whining to God and stop blaming others. Amen. Some of you missed that one. I want to say it again. It felt really good coming out of my mouth, both services. You must stop whining to God and stop blaming others. Notice this. In verse 10, it says, as Pharaoh drew near. So Pharaoh's coming with 600 chariots plus multiple other chariots and the entire army. And as he draws near, the sons of Israel looked, and behold, the Egyptians were marching after them, and they became what? Frightened. When you go through a trial, what's one of the greatest emotions that you're probably going to feel? Fear. Fear. Do not fear. Do not be afraid. How many times is that said? It's all throughout the Bible. I've heard people preach on this and say, it's said 365 times, one for every day of the year. I've never counted. I just know they're myriad. They're all over the place. Do not fear. Do not fear. Do not fear. So they're living in fear. They see Egypt marching after them. So the sons of Israel cried out to the Lord. Now, this doesn't mean that they prayed to the Lord. And the reason we're going to know they weren't praying, saying, Lord, help us, we trust you, is because of what's going to come out of their mouth next. Because they don't have faith to believe that God's going to do anything. Now they're in the blaming stage. Notice who they go after, Moses. Then they said to Moses, is it because there were no graves in Egypt that you have taken us away to die in the wilderness? Why have you dealt with us in this way, bringing us out of Egypt? Moses, why'd you bring us here? Weren't there any graves back in Egypt? We could have died there. Is this not the word we spoke to you in Egypt, saying, leave us alone that we may serve the Egyptians? For it would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the wilderness. Friends, they've been slaves for over 400 years. They saw God rain down plagues for months. They saw the final plague of the death of the firstborn, child and animal, in every house that wasn't covered in the blood. They've seen God's power on display. They plundered Egypt. They left. They're completely free. And now, one challenge. Not so far later. What are they saying? God, why'd you bring us here? And Moses, it's your fault. We told you when we were back in Egypt, we loved being slaves. It was better to be a slave than being free. And why didn't you just leave us there? Weren't there graves there? I mean, it would have been better just to die in our homeland. Now we're out here with nothing. I mean, we have this entire army marching after us. It's the most sophisticated military in the world, and we're holding unleavened bread. We're toast.
Thanks for listening to Brave. That was Pastor Jeff with his message, Trust God in Your Trials, from the series Exodus, exploring five essential steps to not just endure trials, but thrive through them with faith, hope, and purpose. Your support keeps this program going out to people across the nation, challenging them to boldly fight for the fulfillment of the Great Commission in our lifetime. To give a gift of support today, go to bravepastorjeff.com. Before you go, we want to invite you to visit Brave Church at any of our campuses, Englewood, Westminster, and our newest location in Colorado Springs. Or you can join us right from home through our weekend live stream. Visit bravechurch.online. Scroll down and click the Brave Church link at the bottom for details and directions. Thanks for joining us today.